Well, it is a privilege to be able to stand before you again this evening as we have an opportunity to gather with one another and consider some things from God's Word. I thank you, Ben, for that last song that you sang. I think that it was very appropriate for our lesson, and I know it may help with our spirits this evening, as obviously was mentioned a moment ago in the prayer by Hunter. And so we want to think about some things that would bring joy to us and help us in our life. And we want to look at joy in the faith this evening. So I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them to Philippians chapter 1. Really what I want us to do tonight with Philippians chapter 1, this entire chapter, is just kind of go through it and maybe expose it a little bit by looking at some things that created joy here. The first thought that I have when I read through this chapter, when I think about Philippians chapter 1, is isn't it such a blessing to be a Christian? And I believe that Paul felt that way. Yeah, you can remember how that Paul would make mention to the fact that here, even in Philippians, later on in the writing, that I count all things as loss for the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. And everything that I have had in my life, everything that exists on this earth, is rubbish in comparison to that. And so he was so thankful to be a Christian, and I want us to think about that tonight and appreciate the blessing that it is to be a Christian. And certainly Paul was discussing that. And so in Philippians chapter 1, Paul explains the reasons for this joy, why it is that he was so thankful and blessed to be a Christian. And that's what I want us to think about this evening as well. So tonight we're going to look at what brought Paul and the Philippian Christians joy in the faith. The first thing that I want to call our attention to is this: the joy of Christian fellowship. If you go to chapter 1 and notice verses 1 through 5, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, we know that this congregation was a congregation that was exceptionally supportive of the work of Paul. And we have chronicled in the past the many people who made up the initial converts or the Christians of that particular city. We think about Lydia. We think about the Philippian jailer. And we don't really know what his name was, but these families and these households became the very first Christians in Philippi. And there was great partnership there with those brethren. In fact, what Paul would rejoice in would be the encouragement that he got from those individuals throughout the course of his missionary work. And as you go further into the little epistle of Philippi, you're going to find that the Philippian congregation was very involved in sending help and money to the Apostle Paul on his mission effort. So he talks about the partnership that they had with one another. This partnership in their helping to support his being able to travel and preach the gospel message, and certainly the joy that he got from their fellowship. I mean, can you think about that for a moment? Think about what joy it would bring to know that this congregation that you helped to establish, these Christians that you brought to the Lord, are now so invested in the work of God that they want to support you. They want to continue to make sure that the gospel is being preached. They want to strive to lead people back to the cross and be a blessing to the world. What joy would that bring to the apostle to think about these people and their desire to do what it was that he was doing and their investment in him and their partnership in the gospel? You think about the Christian fellowship that we enjoy. You know, tonight we're going to have an opportunity after our service has concluded to have a period of fellowship. And certainly we think that is one of the great gifts and blessings from God. The opportunity that we have to enjoy one another's company, to rejoice with each other, to spend time with one another, and to labor together as God's people. And we're thankful for that relationship and those relationships. And so I think that was one of the things that Paul, as he's writing here about the joy in the faith, he thinks about these Christians who are laboring. And maybe it brought great comfort to him to know that while he was off laboring and even having to endure certain things that happened to him while he was doing it. They were going through these same experiences as well. And they could relate to that. And they could communicate about these things and draw encouragement from one another to continue the good work that was going on. In fact, when you think about that, Paul says, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Which leads us into our next thought. When you think about joy in the faith here in Philippians chapter 1, you think about the joy of Christian growth. In verse 6, again, he makes mention of the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you all are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In other words, these Christians had been growing. And he talks about bringing this to completion, what was began. He realized that they, as all Christians, are continuing to go through that sanctification process. And Paul was thankful for that because he knows that the more we grow as Christians, the better it is. Yeah, I think about that passage of Scripture, and I know many of you remember when we had the funeral of Sister Logan. And we were talking about that. She was 99 years old when she passed away. I thought about her life and what a jewel she was as a Christian and a joy she was to this congregation. And we made the comment that when you thought about her, we knew that she was aging and we knew she was getting older and her body was getting weaker. And Paul recognized that in his own life. But what do we know about her? The inner man was being renewed day by day and growing. And you think about the growth here Paul is talking about. And he says, I want you to abound more in love. Paul recognized that this was a congregation of love. He recognized it was a congregation that already had great knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he wanted them to continue to abound in this. And he knew that they were of the disposition to do that. And so he was rejoicing in the fact that there was going to be growth among these folks. Because he knew what their heart was. That they wanted to grow, that they wanted to develop, they wanted to have this discernment, they wanted to approve what was excellent. And folks, as we grow as Christians, it just gets better in our life. And Paul rejoiced with church growth. And I'm not just talking about the numerical growth of a congregation, but the spiritual growth within a congregation. That's what he rejoiced with. That these people were growing spiritually. And I hope that that can be said of us, that we are continuing to strive to live according to God's way, to research His Word, to study it, and grow in a spiritual way. If that's the case, then there's great joy in faith. And it will bring us great joy as we grow closer to Jesus Christ. The next thing that I think about when I think about joy in the faith is I think about this. I think about joy in the persecution. You begin in verse 12, and here Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, you think about that for a moment. Now, when you think about Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, Philemon, you think about what are called the prison epistles. Paul here in writing these letters, he's writing them from a prison. And he's talking about from a prison the joy that he has as a Christian. And he even is rejoicing now in the fact that he had been imprisoned. And there were two reasons why he was rejoicing about the suffering that he was doing and the persecution he was enduring for the cause of Christ. Number one, he understood that his imprisonment served to help him share the message of the gospel to all the imperial guard. It's not that Paul was quiet. It's not that Paul was in a cell isolated by himself and had no contact with anybody else. Here, the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to reach out to his captors. He had an opportunity to share the gospel with those people that he was surrounded with there in the prison. And he said, I am so thankful for this. I rejoice in this so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. That's the reason why I'm here. And he said, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. Let me tell you what else has happened. People have taken notice that, you know what? Paul is in prison for the cause of Christ. And if he can preach the message, and if he can do some great things while he's there in prison, you know what? I'm not so afraid to go out and do that as well. And so it brought encouragement to others to continue to preach the gospel, even in the face of persecutions. Now, when I think about persecutions, I think about the apostles there in the first century in Acts. How that after they had been persecuted for the cause of Christ, they went away rejoicing that they had been given the privilege to suffer shame for the cause of Christ. And so he is rejoicing in his persecution because he says, what has happened to me really has served to advance the gospel. What a great disposition. What a great attitude. You know, whatever has happened to me, even though folks may view that negatively, they may say that this is a disaster. The apostle Paul is in prison for the cause of Christ. I want you to understand, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know what? Even in my imprisonment, there can be a blessing. I can rejoice in that, Romans 8:28. And so, he says it has really served to advance the gospel. So I take joy in the fact that I have had the privilege to perhaps suffer for Christ, but also, while I've been in prison, to share that message. You look over at verses 20 and 29 of this passage of Scripture as well, and let's read what it says. He says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 29, he says, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. And engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So he said, you're going to get the opportunity. It's a thing of joy to be able to suffer persecution for what is right. And in the advancement of that gospel message. So there's joy in the faith. And then we look further and we see that there's the joy of proclaiming Christ. In verse 18, he says, some indeed preach Christ, verse 15 rather, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what their motives are. I don't care if they think by their preaching out of selfish ambition that they're afflicting me in my imprisonment. They're wounding me even further. You know what I care about, whether in pretense or in truth? I don't know. I don't care what their motives are. As long as they're preaching the truth. Even if they are seeking to inflict some type of emotional or psychological harm on me while I'm in prison, the point is, I'm just thankful that the truth is being taught. You know, you may not know everybody's motives and everybody's purpose for why it is that they proclaim Christ. Certainly Paul makes it aware to us that there are individuals out there who are preaching truth, but maybe they're not preaching it with the right motivation or the right heart. Point is, if they were trying to do that to hurt Paul, he didn't care. He just wanted to know that Christ was being proclaimed. So whether in pretense or in truth, he was thankful and he was rejoicing that Christ was being preached and proclaimed. And he was continuing to do that. So let's take joy in that thought that there is the gospel being taught and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Next, there's the joy of death. The joy of death. In chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, listen to what he says. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Think about that for a moment. Examine that. We get the idea here. Paul did not fear death. He had a firm grasp and understanding about what was to come. That death was just a portal to a better life for him. He did not fear that. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I am rejoicing in the fact that when I die, guess what? Something better is waiting for me. I'm not suggesting that he was looking forward to the process of the death and the fact that maybe he was going to suffer when it came to his dying. But I do know this. He could approach it with full confidence and faith in what was to come. And he said, death is a blessing to me. And in this I rejoice because I know where I'm going. And Paul would write in Galatians chapter 2, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He talks about how he is ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so he was ready to go, and he understood that death brought something more precious to him. That was communion with Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in that, he would rejoice. And then finally tonight, the joy in the faith was there was joy in salvation. In salvation. Beginning in verse 27, it said, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, that and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. Salvation. Here Paul now is reaching out to the brethren to help them understand the beauty of what is coming for them in the future as well. He said, you know, there are going to be those people that are going to fight against you. There are going to be opponents of yours. There are going to be people who persecute you. But I want you to stand firm together, side by side for the faith. And I want you to not be frightened in anything by your opponents. Why? You know why? Because you are saved. You are Christians. You are God's people. And you don't have to fear anything, because you've got a Father that's ready to give you everything. He says, those opponents of yours, when you stand up to them side by side for the faith, and you're not frightened by anything, it's a clear sign to them of their destruction. There's nothing we can do to these people. There's no deterrent. They believe in their God. What do I believe in? What hope do I have beyond this life? I know these folks are that dedicated and convicted by their faith. And he says, so for them, this is a clear sign of their destruction, but of your salvation. Your salvation. that there's something better. And so in this, we can take joy in the faith. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about. It's what he writes about here in Philippians chapter 1. The joy that we have in the faith. The joy of Christian fellowship. The joy of spiritual growth in the church. The joy of even being persecuted for the cause of Christ. The joys of proclaiming that there is a Christ. That Jesus is the Christ. The joy of knowing that death is not the end, but the beginning. And the joy of salvation and what God has in store for His faithful in life. I want you to be able to have that same kind of joy in life. But you can only experience that kind of joy if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian. And so tonight, as we always do, we give you an opportunity to respond to the invitation message this evening so that you can have the joy that comes with being a Christian. So tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do that. We're going to sing an invitation song. And if you have any need, we want to assist you with that while together we stand and sing.